So on Friday, I did a Google search with the phrases David, Goliath, and I came up with 265,000 results. The top of the list were stellar black holes when David poses as Goliath. Taking the Goliath of student loans via text. Fight for clean water, a contemporary David versus Goliath. I was watching a TV show the other day and they were talking about the idea of being an underdog, and they simply used the phrase, do you have your slingshot in your hand? And it was known that they were talking about David and Goliath. It probably is the most familiar story in the Old Testament. Whether you are a churchgoer, if you went to Sunday school as a kid, or if you're not, it is something everyone knows. Even yesterday, there was a football game. And the great Baltimore Ravens, who were predicted to win the Super Bowl, were beaten by the Tennessee Titans. And at the very end of the game, I don't know if anyone else watched it, they said, this is a real David and Goliath story today. And everyone knew, oh, the underdog must have won. And maybe we have that in our mind. We all know what the story of David and Goliath is. It's about the story of an underdog. But there's a lot more to it that we ought to reflect upon. As we wrestle with these verses that come out of our understanding from our childhoods, perhaps, we need to recognize a couple of things. We did not read the very beginning of this chapter. If you read the beginning of this chapter, you would understand that the Israelites are deeply concerned. Saul has been told that he is not going to be king any longer. And the Israelites are beginning to think that means that the kingdom is going to fall. Soon after Saul is given this, your kingdom, Saul's kingdom, is going to be given to another. They come across this vast army in the valley of Elah. And this army has this great giant, Goliath, 9 feet tall. And he is out there taunting the Israelites every single day for 40 days. Send someone out. Send someone out. And they're thinking to themselves, this is the beginning of the end. We don't know what we're going to do. And no one goes out there for 40 days. Then, one day, David, with his brother's lunches in hand, states that he will go against this giant. In fact, he is incredulous that they would be standing there doing nothing. Why aren't you guys fighting him? Why aren't you letting God win the victory? What are you guys doing? And so David prepares to go out. But what enables David to have that bravery? That no one else would step up. That's what these verses that our David read for us. The first thing we need to see is that our confidence in God might supersede convention. Verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on the sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these because I'm not used to them." And he took them off. Saul fits David with Saul's battle gear. It was the expected course of action. If you're going to go fight someone, you need weapons and you need armor to protect yourself. If David was to face this Philistine, he needed to be equipped. So he put on the coat, the chainmail, and the helmet. Now, we know a couple of things. From 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 13, verse 23, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 10, 23, we know that Saul was chosen by Samuel to become king because of his height. He was head and shoulders above the rest, literally. Probably 6'5", 6'6". A big guy. In comparison, not as big as Goliath, but still pretty big. We also know from 1 Samuel 16:11 that David was the least in his family. So here we have a guy that's head and shoulders above the rest. In a lineup, you could see Saul's full head, full shoulders in any group. And then you have David, small, a boy. Even Goliath eventually will look at him and say, "What's going on? You send a boy out here?" It would be like a four-year-old wearing their parents' shoes. I don't know if you've seen a little girl in her mother's heels. They don't walk around very well. Or you see a little boy in their father's shoes. They don't walk around all that well. And so David is there wearing this armor that doesn't fit. Helmet that doesn't fit. Coat that doesn't fit. And he says, "You know what? I can't do this." We all have these conventions, these things that we know work. We have training seminars and conferences. We have what's called standard operating procedures. And we see what has worked and we model what has worked. And that's what Saul was trying to do. This is what a warrior looks like. This is what a defender of the people looks like. But David was unable to walk in the armor. The conventional wisdom was not going to work for him. He was not accustomed to it because God had equipped him differently. He was a shepherd. And he had the tools and the abilities of a shepherd. He had fought things that would take his life. Lions, tigers, bears, probably not tigers. And he was victorious with a staff, a sling, and a stone. He was a shepherd, not a warrior. And if he was going to face an adversary, he was going to face that adversary as he was, not as everyone wanted him to be. David didn't allow Saul to determine the way he should go. He had confidence that God had chosen him as he was to win the battle. And that's something that we ought to be thinking about. Are we confident in what God can do to supersede convention? To understand that sometimes the way it's always been done is not the way we can do it. The second thing we see here, our confidence in God might lead to preparation. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. David chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. Now I will tell you a couple of things about these stones. They were the standard tools of a shepherd. Staff, sling, stone. They were what David was comfortable with. And so his first deliberate action is to crouch by the riverbed in the valley of Elah in the presence of a javelin-holding giant and find the right stuff to do his thing. We have no idea how long it took. But can you imagine the confidence in God that it takes to crouch? I want you to do this at some point. Whether it is crouching down on one knee, on neither knee, on both knees, go home and have someone throw something at you while you are crouched on the ground or on your knees. It is a pretty defenseless position. There is no way you can do anything quickly from this position, especially if you're looking down into a stream. And yet David is there, crouching, kneeling, sitting on the ground, whatever he's doing, fishing through the water looking for these stones. Now, we need not over-spiritualize what these 5 stones are. I have seen some sermon outlines. Oh, these are what the 5 stones. One was determination. One was loyalty. One was faith. No, they were stones. And he selected 5 of them. He needed one to accomplish God's purposes, but maybe because of the weight of them, or the ease of grasping them, or the balance that it provides him with the offsetting weight. We don't know why 5. We just know that it wasn't a hasty decision. Any old stone would do. And maybe sometimes we think that. Well, when we're with God, any old thing will do. But this tells us no. David was deliberate in deciding which 5 stones, and he spent the time to get ready. Now, we need to understand as well what's going on while he is doing this. As he's doing this, the giant is slowly progressing with his armor bearer. He is so big and so fortified that he has people carrying his shield in front of him. Now, what's interesting to me is what happens to these shield bearers, because they are gone by the time David arrives. But he's there. He's not in a rush. He's patient. The Philistine is advancing fully armed. He's hurling insults at him as he approaches. Begins to look and says, "What is this? Who do you think you are that you're coming after me with a dog? It sticks. I am a mighty warrior, and all you send me is this pup with a stick in his hand." But he's confident. He won't let weapons bring the victory. He's going to allow the name of the Lord to be this giant's undoing. "I don't come at you with sword. I don't need the sword. But know this day, it is going to be the name of the Lord that brings you down." Now, ultimately, we do not need to rush before God. We need to gather up resources. We need to spend time in prayer or worship and fellowship or study. But we ultimately need to be confident in the name of the Lord, the authority of God, the nature of God, the power of God that comes from His name. David didn't go on before God had told him. He got ready. And then he waited for God to move. And then, what is interesting to me about this passage, among other things, is that for 47 verses, 47 verses, there is a lot of nothing going on. 47 verses of dialogue and talking and getting ready. And then in an instant, there are 4 verses of action. Our confidence in God will provide direction. We don't know what happened between verse 47 and 48, but we do know this. That in verse 48, David started running. And he ran toward the giant. He swung his sling. He let it go. He hit the giant in the head. And according to verse 51, he continues to run. It is my contention that the scriptures say that David is on a full burst until he gets to Goliath, stands over him, grabs his sword, and cuts his head off. This 40 days of taunting seems to be done in 40 seconds of God's action. Verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Verse 51. David ran and stood over him. Doesn't say he stopped. Simply says he ran, reached into his bag, got the stone, sent it into the guy's forehead. He fell down on the ground. He ran, chopped his head off. One swift motion. And ultimately, when God says act, we are expected to move. Everything David predicted was realized, and everything God enabled came to pass. Just as quickly as that. The fate of Israel, that better men, bigger men, were all worried about, was eliminated in one swift act of God. David did not hesitate once God gave the opportunity. He moved when God moved. Our sermon in a sentence is this: our confidence in the Lord is the main thing that determines our conquest. It's not the only thing that determines our conquest. The things we are conquering. But it is the main thing that determines whether or not our giants will be vanquished. We all have giant adversaries. Some of these adversaries are systemic, like poverty or prejudice. And some of them are more personal, like addictions or expectations. Some of our adversaries are relational, like an overbearing boss or a critical parent. Some are internal, like depression or the devil. The question we need to constantly ask ourselves is this: am I confident that God is able to deliver? David was, and that made all the difference. It was not conventional, it was not hasty, but it was absolute. And God has not changed. He will still use those who are willing to be themselves and believe that God will bring the victory. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. May we all have the confidence in God that this is more than enough. Our confidence in the Lord is the main thing that determines our conquest. Shall we pray?